Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey friends, this is Matthias Roberts, and you're listening to Queerology, a podcast on belief and being. This is episode 134.
And I don't feel safe going home. And then that's what an awful, awful thing to say out loud. That I don't feel safe in my own house that I grew up in.
Matthew Paul Turner is a New York Times bestselling author of multiple books, including his children's books, When God Made You and When I Pray for You. His newest children's book, I Am God's Dream, released just last week. Matthew's writing career started nearly 20 years ago, and he's published a book every year since. Called one of Christianity's fresh voices by Publishers Weekly, Matthew's other notable works include Our Great Big American God, Churched, Coffeehouse Gospel, and The Christian Culture Survival Guide. But when he came out nearly 2 years ago and announced an impending divorce with his wife, his entire career was put on the line. I am so excited to have Matthew on the show today. We are talking all about his coming out process and everything he's been up to since. His story is powerful, and I'm thrilled that y'all are going to be able to hear it. I've known Matthew for several years at this point, and he is just a delight, and I think you'll hear that loud and clear through listening to this. No announcements today, so let's just go ahead and dive in. Matthew, hi, welcome.
Hi, Matthias. How are you?
I am thrilled that you're here.
I am thrilled to be here. I have looked forward to this interview, and I don't look forward to like interviews all that often, so I'm excited about getting a chance to chat with you.
So. Yeah, me too. Well, to start, this is the question I ask everyone. What are your identities and how has your faith helped form those identities?
I'm a gay father of three kids and I'm a children's book author. And I mean, faith has played a major role in most of those identities. I would say that I'm still learning how faith plays into me being gay. I think I'm still in that process of dealing with the aftermath of coming out later in life and how my family has taken that news. And so I certainly know that faith is involved in that and I can connect those dots, but they are a little more layered and complex than being a dad and being a children's author. And so like my faith certainly plays a major role in defining and helping me with both of those aspects.
I'm so curious what that has looked like for you, because you had a pretty significant career in the faith world before coming out. Your career is still based in the faith world after coming out, but I imagine there's been a shift there. In some ways.
You think? No. I honestly thought going into Jessica and I making the announcement that Jessica is my ex-wife, and when we were in the thinking process of like me coming out publicly and us together announcing our divorce, I honestly had so many questions. I knew my publisher was behind me. I knew my literary agent was behind me, and that was all the certainty I had going into that. I didn't know if I'd have a career. I write children's books about God, and all of my books, they're life-affirming, very positive books for kids. But I didn't know if there was going to be this like mass book burning, and I've been surprised to some degree by the kindness of just general people who read my books, people who are, I think, in various places in their understanding or affirmation of LGBTQ issues. And so it's been beautiful to see some of the mass acceptance. Certainly I got a whole bunch of, I could write a book about the first 10 days of that, post coming out, because I got everything from all cap emails of hatred. I got called sodomite more than I ever thought I would ever in my lifetime, let alone one day. And then on the other end, I get photos. So it was a very vast experience of coming out, but I still get to do what I'm doing. I'm still writing books about God for kids. And so far, there hasn't been a huge change or huge shift in what my career looks like. Now, I think I'm always feeling this like level of fear of regarding like maybe it will, it's just delayed, but that reduces with each passing month. You lean into it. But I'm still in the learning. I guess I'm still a new gay, as I've been called many times.
but I hear that though, especially, and I think a lot of people who listen to this show will relate to this. When you're queer in a faith-based environment, whatever that environment is, I don't know if that nervousness ever fully goes away. Like it's a volatile relationship.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
And it just, you're constantly, there is this expectation, whether it is for good reason or sometimes it is for good reason, sometimes it's just my fear, but there's this expectation that people are going to hold you at arm's length. To some degree, like you are, I don't know whether they look at me like, and again, I don't even know, like sometimes it's just the fear of walking into certain situations. And sometimes it's truly a very real thing. It's, and it's hard to write people out of your life, Matthias. Like it's hard, like regardless of how unaccepting they are, it's not easy. People are like, well, sometimes you just have to choose your family, or your family is not blood. And those, I understand those phrases. And I think that so many LGBTQ people have to come to terms with those in various ways, but like, they're easier said than done. So there is this constant level of anxiety that you feel in working through that. But when I compare it to the anxiety and self-loathing I felt prior to coming out, it pales in comparison.
Tell me about that, because you and I met before you came out, a couple of years before you came out.
Yeah.
I think I remember hearing you say in some interview you did that you really had no intention of coming out.
Well, I never thought, I got to a place in my life where I thought that I was never going to come out. Like I didn't see a way that would ever be okay in my brain to devastate my whole personal like story. It was just hard for me to fathom hurting my best friend, Jessica, hurting my kids, very, very much potentially losing the connection I had, the strained connection already because of politics, but the strained connection with my family. And so there were many times where I just would try to become okay being in the closet and tell myself that if I'm never going to get to a place where I can live as God has created me to live, then what can I do to help make the path easier for people who are younger than me or people who are growing up in church now? And people have heard me quote this before, but I remember when I was writing my very first children's book, I was in the parking lot of a Publix grocery store. And for some reason, these words just flowed out of me. And it was, so be you, fully you, a show-stopping review. Live your life in full color, every tint, every hue. Discover, explore, have faith, but love more. And learn and relearn all that God made you for. And I just wept and just in my mind hoped that every gay kid in church would get the wink, would see themselves in those words and find a path that I didn't believe I would find, just because I was so scared of hurting everyone around me.
What changed?
Counseling. I think that I just started to lose myself in the story, in my own story. And I started to just become a shell of the bright, engaging, grateful person that I usually am with. Certainly, I just painted myself as this like really wonderful person, and I certainly have there could be some negative qualities I had listed in that list too, but I just started to lose what made me, and Jessica could see that. And so we went into counseling, and so counseling just dug up all the things, and telling my then wife that I'm gay was just so hard, Matthias. I was like, certainly, yeah, it was it. But Jessica has been the most supportive, gracious, beautiful human in this. And the whole time working through her own loss and her own fears and her own pain because of it. And yeah, it was scary, but the joy, the light that came on, it's kind of like, I often tell people it's not like I was just this unhappiest person. It was like I was just walking around in a fog, and that once I spoke those words, the fog began to burn off from the sun. And it really, like, to wake up not in that fog, to wake up and be excited that I did this really difficult, brave, crazy thing. And it really is, the lights have come back on. And is everything perfect? Absolutely not. But like, it is, I'm on a path toward being whole that I did not experience prior to coming out very often.
And just in my own experience of you meeting you at Wild Goose Festival, again, several years before you came out, that's the place where we see each other most often.
Yeah.
Like even the person that you were, I remember meeting you and being like, this man is so nice to me. Why? why is he so nice? Because you were genuinely kind and interested. And I was like, who is this person? Why? And come to find out, it makes a whole lot of sense. Knowing.
There was something that you're a wonderful person and interesting. And I think that hopefully, regardless of my coming out or having been gay or not been gay, I hope that I would have been kind and that I would have seen the beauty in who you are, because you are you're an extraordinary individual, and you have this quiet presence about you that That is interesting. That you're like a little bit of a mystery, and it's a good mystery.
Thank you. I think I've seen you shift though to I wouldn't say an entirely different person, but I think I even said this to you when we were at
you
the
did.
Goose last fall. Like, you are more yourself in ways that are very different and fuller.
Yeah.
Than you were those previous years.
Well, when you've grown up in church, and you've spent your whole life trying to control other people's perceptions, like there is this, like everything from making sure I talk like this instead of like my regular voice, making sure that I keep my hands folded so that I don't use my hands to this quote unquote gay degree or whatever. Like, there's all these things that you find yourself trying to control. And I found myself, like I really did. It's not, I'm more comfortable in my own skin than I have ever been. And when you spend 40 plus years like not being comfortable in your own skin and you suddenly feel free to be like, it's a powerful affecting thing. And I just, I know when I like going to Wild Goose this past season, like I just felt free and freedom. I know that that's such a cliche thing, but like it's, you freedom plays out in different, in people's lives differently. And it, for me, it was just letting go of trying to constantly control and of course it's all in your head. Like I remember when I did a recording of my memoir growing up in fundamentalism called Churched. And I remember reading this whole thread of a conversation about how I sounded gay in the book, in this recording. And it just, when you don't care what those people think anymore, it's a pretty powerful thing. Like when you just stop trying or stop in your head trying to manipulate or just influence people's perceptions, like, and you get to be yourself. It's, there's a lot of joy found in that.
Yeah. It's so significant to not have to continually check yourself, to just be able to be.
And so like when I see people like you and all of your friends, like there was like, this was prior to me coming out, like I was envious of just y'all being yourselves. And so like, I think that I was probably careful, even more careful around y'all, because it's infectious to see somebody just being themselves to the fullest degree. And I loved seeing how just how y'all like just were okay being yourselves. And it's that's just a beautiful thing.
So you write these children's books about God.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this question. It's an obvious answer. Has your relationship with God shifted since coming out? Like you're writing these books, like your newest one, which I think just came out last week, I Am God's Dream. Like even that phrase, I am God's dream. That is a powerful statement, especially as a queer person saying it. And I realize it's the title of a book, but I imagine there's story there.
Well, during therapy, there was a point where I realized that to some degree, every book I've written for kids was first written to the kid in me. And I think this book, which I was working on at the same time as I was working on Rachel's the book that I finished for Rachel Held Evans. And so I was working on both of these books, two very different books. But I think this is the first book where I literally like intentionally wrote to the kid in me. And it's, I am God's dream. I'm a human sunbeam. Watch me light up a room with my confident gleam. I'm strong and I'm brave. I'm a one kid parade. I'm going to be who I am because I'm wonderfully made. I think that there definitely is. I think people will certainly read a shift in certain aspects of this book. And I think that they will see my story written in it. But I don't think that if someone doesn't know my story, they may not see it. So I wanted to give kids agency with these words in some way. I wanted them to be able to. This is the first book I've ever written in first person for a kid. All of my books, for the most part, have been second person. You are this. You are that. You are those kinds of phrases. And this book, I wanted the kid to feel agency over their own bodies, over their own minds, over their own spirituality, and just feel the words as personal. And so definitely, I think that there has been a shift. I also know that I think the biggest shift since coming out has been in myself. I think that I knew God delighted in LGBTQ people long before I ever had that freedom to express it personally. I had it like I offered and promoted that kind of light for other people, other queer people all the time. And yet finding it for myself was the journey. And I remember my therapist, this was like 3 weeks after I came out publicly, my therapist was like, you do realize you have only begun to accept yourself, right? Like you're in the beginning stages of this. Like you may have had a mass coming out and gotten a whole bunch of love, but you need to find that love for you. And I think that's what I think if there has been a shift, it's me being able to identify proudly as gay and without wincing or without feeling like there needs to be a disclaimer or an explanation or whatever. Like I think that that's, if there has been anything that the pandemic gave me personally, it's time to just get real comfortable in my own gay skin, in the privacy of my own home, and really become free. And yes, though I think that I hope that those lessons show up in this new book.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to highlight, what your therapist said to you, that like you've only just begun in this acceptance journey. And I know certainly for those of us who have come out, that's a big deal. And that ongoing journey of not only learning to love ourselves, but also having to undo all of those things that are in place within us that have kept us from that.
Yeah.
What has that looked like for you, that undoing?
I think it ebbs and flows. I think that there are some times where it's been a beautiful journey of freedom. I think that on other times it has been lots of falling on the floor and feeling sorry for myself, or feeling like I'm alone, or feeling like I've effed up every aspect of my story. And I think that there's this, especially in that first year, like when you're like you are having to stay in your house and be by yourself a lot more than normal. I think that first year there was a lot of self-loathing in my journey. And it was like, I think, and also when you're like, I haven't seen my family, my mom and my dad and my three sisters and their families, I haven't seen them since the summer of 2018. And so when I came out to them, I thought for a second there was going to be, they were going to like offer this, we love you. But like, I thought I was just going to, that was going to be it. Hey, but we're going to move forward. We're going to be in relationship. We don't agree with you, whatever. That quickly changed when they didn't know how. The information was way too new. Like, it was just not going to, it was not going to be that. They couldn't get past the butt. And I haven't talked to my dad. My dad is 82. And I haven't talked to my dad since June 2020, other than a short text message maybe three times. Like, just very non-unemotional texts back and forth. And so I think that for me, the thing that I'm working through now is how to be okay without the support of the people who raised me, or without the love from my sisters. And it, like, one of my sisters in particular, like, we grew up, we're three years apart, and so we did everything together. We were like, and we were definitely the closest. And she has been the most difficult and the most unkind. And I don't know if I'm ever going to have a relationship with my family that is like a family. And I'm becoming okay with that. Like, I have to become okay with that, because I have allowed their influence on me to control a lot of my life. And I'm not going to let their unacceptance of me control the rest of my life. And both of the ends of that dichotomy are they're my doing. Like, I allowed them to have that kind of influence on my life, and I'm now choosing not to let them have that kind of influence. But that's not, I it's a lot easier for me to just speak that than to actually live that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm reminded of what you said a few minutes ago about the easier said than done of the kind of chosen family, or setting boundaries, saying goodbye to certain people. It's so painful.
Yeah, and that, because you forget that there are things in my life that only me picking up the phone, or me getting in the same room with one of my sisters, that they will ever, that that no one except them will understand the story or understand why it makes me to laugh out loud. And I miss that. I miss those moments. I miss, like, being able to call my sister and laugh about something that happened when we were growing up, or laughing at that one, at those moments that literally it doesn't matter how many times you bring them up, they're always funny. Those are the things that you lose because nobody else was there. And I think that it's, I've had to learn how to grieve. Because when you grieve, I think, Matthias, and this is a little bit morbid, but every day I wake up and I give myself just a tiny bit of space to think, what if I get the phone call today that somebody in my family has passed away? And I don't know, maybe lots of people who are queer, like, can identify with that feeling, but like I do, I give myself just a little bit of space just to process it and move on, because my parents are old. My parents are not going to, I'm not going to suddenly get a phone call and they're not going to suddenly accept me like I dream about sometimes. So I have to give myself a little bit of space for that. And then with kids, it's like I hate that my coming out has put such a canyon between my kids and my family. I hate that. And now that almost 2 years has gone by since telling my mom, my family, there are, every inroad is a mix of excitement and fear. Every little connection of my, that happens where I'm not really involved, that my kids are connecting with somebody in my family, like there is a discomfort and excitement all in one. And so I just keep working through it in therapy.
I feel like sometimes that's really all you can do.
it really is. Like you just have to get up and you have to keep walking through it and put it down when it's time to put it down.
Because I feel like so often when people come out and then they have a poor experience with their parents, a lot of what people will say is just give them time. Like they'll come around eventually. They love you. And what I'm hearing from you, and this certainly has been my experience with my parents too, is that there is a reality of where that's not actually true. They're not going to come around. And aside from a sliver of a miracle, that is the reality we have to learn how to live with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I know this to be true. I know that there's not very much hope in that, like light turning on or becoming kind, because my parents, they walk in very small circles in a very small community. It's not like they're older, and so it's not like they're coming in contact with very many gay people that they're in relationship with. The chances of them meeting somebody or somebody like opening their eyes, and I right now, I don't feel safe going home. And then that's what an awful, awful thing to say out loud. That I don't feel safe in my own house that I grew up in at this moment. But I don't. Gracefully though, thankfully, Jessica's family have been wonderful. They have loved me and have embraced me and have accepted me and have like, they didn't blink. Like they have been so kind, and it has been such a grace, because it has been a grace.
I'm curious about that, because we hear these stories of people coming out after being in a marriage for a significant amount of time, I feel like you're one of the people, like sometimes that doesn't always go well. For you, it went, I think, as well as it could.
Yeah.
What has that been like, being able to, having to navigate this with a wife, a former wife, mm-hmm. with kids, having it go well, but also I imagine there's a lot of complexity even in it going well.
Yeah. It weighed on every interaction between Jessica and me. For the first year, there was a lot of grieving, and it probably wasn't until last fall where the lights started coming on for both of us. Where we just, enough time and space had gone by where we started. And let me preface that, but I don't like speaking on behalf of Jessica. So this is just, I just want to say that, because she might, if she were here, she would most definitely probably interject with her own thoughts. But I just will say, from my vantage point, there was a light that started to come on last fall where it just started to, we both started to breathe easier in our new story. And I know that lots of changes will come in the future, as if either of us begin dating or begin, like, there's lots of things that we haven't crossed over into yet that I think we'll have to like ease into. But I will say this, I don't think that I could have gone through what I went through without Jessica. She was my biggest supporter and the one who lost the most in the story at the same time. And there's a lot I could say about all that, but that's very, she just has been a rock, but also has also been a rock for herself in learning to get healthy and deal with the trauma that my story brought her.
Yeah.
So
I'm reflecting on this sense of, even though in some ways we could call what you went through like a best case scenario, still the weight of grief in that, and then also the systems that were in place to even be in those kind of situations. Like it is so complicated that a quote unquote best case that has brought both of you freedom, it sounds like, is still so incredibly heartbreaking, difficult to navigate.
And honestly, in some cases, it would have been, there are aspects to our journey that may have been easier had we hated each other. Or had we absolutely found each other appalling, because we could have both moved on. Like, it would have made co-parenting complicated, but from a personal standpoint, we could have moved forward. Although I will say this, I've walked with so many people who have been in some aspect of my story, or a glimmer of my story within their story. And I will take my story most of the time, any day, because I think when you are trying to uncouple in a healthy, kind, gentle manner, it takes longer. You feel lots of things all the way through it. But for our kids, it has been the healthiest, most beautiful thing for their stories. And so we've done, as hard as it has been, we have done a lot of things that we wouldn't go back and change. We would do them again the same way, because as hard as our stories have been, it was worth the extra work that it took to do it well and to do it healthily and to do it with our co-parenting being first and foremost.
I know you just said this, and imagine so many people have reached out to you because of how your story has resonated. And I'm curious for folks who are even listening to this right now, who are trying to discern maybe coming out later in life, maybe if it's worth it, trying to even imagine what it might look like, realizing there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to this question. I'd be curious what you share with folks who are in that situation.
I do a lot of listening. Because there are some people who are in religious upbringings, in religious small towns, that for them, my story could potentially be dangerous. Like doing it, it could put them in harm, or could put their kids at harm. Like it just, so I listen. And I share my story of how things were, what I felt, what Jessica and I eventually realized what we needed to do. I also think that I had lots of people say, Matthew, it took you this long to get to a place where you could say, I'm gay. Give yourself a little bit of grace in how long it takes you to do what needs to be done. And so I don't think, like you said, I don't think there's a one answer fits all in any way, shape, or form. I think it's really dependent upon the relationship between the two people. I have talked to people who they've lost their kids in this. They've lost their connection to both sides of the family. There are people whose partner they're abusive in the process of coming out. Like it's just, there's lots of layers. I don't have any advice. All I know is that I do think that freedom and honesty and kindness play a really big role in how my story was able to move forward the way it has. But I know that if somebody followed my recipe in their own story, like it could be a very different thing. But I think the one advice I do have is, regardless, find a therapist who is LGBTQ plus affirming. That helped me more than anything. When I told my therapist that I was, at the time, I told him that I was not straight, okay? And he didn't blink an eye. And we started the process of talking all through those things. And so finding somebody who is accepting and embracing of LGBTQ identities, then that is by far the best advice I can give. Of course, therapy is a privilege.
So key. Yes, the reality that therapy is, it is such a privilege. I mean, it is, and is so inaccessible. That is true. To have that space where you can try things on for size, where they don't affect your quote unquote real life until you are ready to take those steps with someone else, having that space to work through those things that is a little bit separated, vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that the other thing that I would say is don't be afraid to change therapists. I had three therapists who walked with me through this. I've had one, my current therapist has been the longest, but each therapist was very crucial to my story. Like they all played a significant role. But there was also a moment where it was like, okay, my work with them for the first two, that it was done. I felt like we had gotten to a place where it just wasn't, there wasn't going to be any moving forward. And they all played significant, perfect, important roles in my story. And I when I changed, I was really glad that I did. And so far, this therapist I have now, I will probably keep them for a long time, because there's something about them that resonates and helps keep me move forward.
I love that. Well, Matthew, if people want to connect with your work, find out more about what you're about, how can they do that?
It's my website is MatthewPaulTurner.com. On Instagram, I'm Matthew Paul Turner. On Facebook, I'm Matthew Paul Turner. And on Twitter, I'm HeyMPT.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me, Matthias. I have looked forward to this, and it did not go well.
Be sure to go grab a copy of Matthew's new book, I Am God's Dream, wherever you buy books. It's also available in all Targets starting today, which is super exciting. He's on Twitter at HeyMPT and on Instagram at Matthew Paul Turner. Queerology is on Twitter and Instagram at QueerologyPod, or you can tweet me directly at Matthias Roberts. Find out how you can help keep Queerology on the air by becoming an active listener, head over to patreon.com/Matthias Roberts. A really easy way to support the show is by leaving a rating and a review. You can do that right in your podcast app, or head over to MatthiasRoberts.com/review, and it'll take you right there. As always, if you have something you'd like to hear on the show, reach out. And until next time, y'all, bye!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.